Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Fellowship and love.
Well, thanks for being with us this morning. We're especially glad if this is your first time in church in a long time, or the first time ever. If you don't consider yourself a church person or religious person, we are so glad you are here. And if this is your first time, you're relatively new, we invite you to stop by our Next Steps kiosk out on the concourse. After the service is over there, we can tell you how to get the most out of your weekend experience, and we'll even give you a gift to thank you for being with us today. Today is the second week of a series we are calling Veni Sancte Spiritus, or Come Holy Spirit. And the bottom line for this series is very simple, that we want to help you desire more of the Spirit so that you'll ask for the Holy Spirit and then be filled or receive the Holy Spirit. Why would you want to receive more of the Holy Spirit or be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Galatians tells us this, that the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, as the Spirit comes into our lives, is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That as more of the Spirit comes into our lives, these attributes come to characterize us. So that all sounds pretty good. So why wouldn't one of us want more of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Well, last week we talked about a couple of different obstacles that might keep us from asking for more of the Spirit or desiring more of the Spirit. The first one is ignorance. We just don't know that much about the Holy Spirit or what part he plays in our lives. And so over the course of this series, we're trying to get to know the Holy Spirit. A couple ways is one, just being here on the weekend. Second, by reading our worship folies. Those are our daily emails, so you can sign up for them at our Next Steps kiosk if you don't get them currently. Read them every day. And then our small group messages for the series are great resources to get to know the Spirit better, because to know the Spirit is to love him. Second one is indifference. Second obstacle to knowing the Spirit is indifference. We don't care. I mean, we got places to go, people to see, things to do. I mean, we're busy, 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 busy. But as we talked about last week, this is exactly why we need the Holy Spirit. Because in order to experience the Spirit, we have to learn to wait on the Spirit or make space in our lives for the Spirit. And as we learn to make space for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will lead us to a place of margin, which we so desperately need in our crazy, hectic culture. Third one is this, intimidation, third obstacle. And this might maybe be the biggest one for people, that the Holy Spirit is symbol, the Spirit is of a mighty, rushing wind. And when we really experience the Holy Spirit, it can take us outside of our comfort zone. Because the Spirit is outside of our control. And as we noted last week, the reason we need to get outside our comfort zone is because growth, personal growth, is always outside of our comfort zone. And the cool thing is this, though, is that as we will stretch ourselves to get a little bit outside our comfort zone expands. I was reminded of the importance of this just the other day with one of my children, my son Kepha. He's 9 years old, and he joined the swim team for the first time. So the other night was the first swim practice, and we were already at the pool, and then it became time for him to go to swim practice. So I said, all right, Kepha, go over to the swim practice. He said, well, I'm scared. I said, it's all right, it'll be okay, don't worry about it. He said, well, will you come with me? I said, sure. So I walk him over to where they're having the swim practice. And as we get closer to the pool, he's like, I'm still scared. I'm like, that's okay, Kaif, it'll be all right. So we get closer, but he doesn't want to go in. So at a certain point, I just pushed him in the water. I'm a bad dad. I'm not that bad a dad. I didn't push him in. But anyway, no, I just encouraged him. I said, come on, Kaif, you can do it. You can do it. And then eventually the swim coach came over and she helped, and he jumped in and he swam like a champ. He was awesome. After practice, he comes over and I give him a high five. I'm like, way to go, Kaif. And he's got a big smile on his face. And I was just thinking, again, that's what the Father wants for us when it comes to experiencing the Spirit. That it's a little bit intimidating, but as we'll push past that discomfort, that eventually we'll experience incredible joy of life in the Spirit. Third one is this, unbelief. That sometimes we just don't believe that the Holy Spirit is available to us. That the Holy Spirit is available for super Christians or the apostles or super saints, but not for us. But God's desire is that for all of us to live Spirit-filled lives. So these are some of the obstacles. And last week we talked about why we need the Spirit. Again, the Spirit gives us is our advocate or counselor that will give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to help us navigate the trials of life and to know God's love. Today we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit wants to work through us to make an impact on our world. And I think all of us, we desire to make a positive impact on the world. We want to leave the world better than it is now. So we're going to talk about how the Spirit helps us to do that. To do that, we're going to look at a passage from the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles. Acts was written by Luke, who was a physician, who wrote Acts and the Gospel according to Luke in order to give an orderly account of the life of Jesus in the early church. And here's what Luke writes. He says this, in the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until he was taken up after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Luke begins the book by saying that in the first book, which was his gospel, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. And that's used very intentionally. Because what the thesis of Acts of the Apostles is this, that the work of Jesus, the work and ministry and mission of Jesus began with the person of Jesus Christ in those 3 years of his ministry. But it didn't end there. It was just the beginning. That the work and ministry of Jesus continues through that power of the Holy Spirit in the church. And the church is not a building, but the gathering of God's people who continue the work and ministry of Jesus. What was the work and ministry of Jesus? Well, it was to redeem and restore. Jesus came to redeem and to restore. He came to redeem the world and restore it to the glory that God had in mind for it all along. So let me give you an example or analogy of this, of the two different, to help you explain a little bit better. So say your family had a beautiful house, beautiful mansion, beautiful grounds. You know, your extended family had it. But at a certain point, it fell into the wrong hands, and the house began to get dilapidated. It was neglected. It was falling apart. The grounds, there's weeds all over it. It's a disaster. And say there was like a mortgage on it, and the bank was ready to foreclose on that property, and they were going to sell it off. But you are a person of means, and so you step in and you buy the property because it means so much to you. At that point, you redeemed the property. But now it needs to be restored. It needs some tender, loving care so they can get back to the glory you envision of it, of being in good condition and of the property being in the right state. And so you begin that work. Well, on the cross, Jesus redeemed the world. But now, the restoration of the world to the glory God intends for it, the vision God has for it, that continues through us, through his church. So then Luke continues in the gospel, in the Acts of the Apostles. He said, he, Jesus, presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them for 40 days, and speaking about the kingdom of God. Jesus presents himself alive by many proofs, not just a few. He shows the apostles that he really is alive. And speaking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, quite simply, is a place where God's will is done. Where God is in charge and people are living under the authority of God. Where God's will is done. And God's will is simply that we would love him and be in relationship with him. And that we would love and care for one another. That's where the kingdom of God. And that God's will is always done in heaven. That's why in the Our Father and in the song we sing we're going to be singing at the end of the service today, our time today, we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," or "here as in heaven." We are praying to bring God's will and God's kingdom down to earth. And that we, first of all, that begins in our own lives, in our own hearts, through us, the church, out into the world. Luke continues, he says this, "While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me speak." So this is amazing. The apostles, they are one of the few people that have seen Jesus risen from the dead. Right? They're the only ones who are really, at this point, have seen that. But Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, go out right away and start telling the world about me." He says, "No, I want you to wait. Wait for the promise of the Father." That is the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus knew they could not succeed in the restoration of the world without the Holy Spirit. They couldn't live the life he wanted them to live without the Holy Spirit. And that was true for them. It's also true for us. You know, it's been said that the Christian life is not difficult or challenging. It's absolutely impossible. It's impossible without the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so God tells us to wait, to learn to wait on the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, I think two simple ways. Number one is simply by prayer. That when we begin each day, and even if it's only for 10 minutes or a few minutes, to wait on the Spirit and invite the Spirit into our lives through Scripture or again, whatever prayer works for us, that we are waiting on the Spirit and understanding we need the Spirit in our lives in order to live the life God wants us to live, to be disciples of Christ. Another way I think we learn to wait is just to learn to wait in God's timing. There are some things you desire in your life to be accomplished, or some relationships to be restored and to be healed, things you greatly desire that God wants too, but God's going to accomplish in his timing, in the Holy Spirit's timing. And we all have a tendency to push sometimes, try to make things happen. And not that we shouldn't work towards things, but there comes a time where we're just pushing instead of trusting in the Spirit to accomplish in the Spirit's timing what we desire. You know, the Spirit can accomplish in moments what takes us years and years to accomplish. So we learn to wait by waiting on God's timing. So Jesus says to wait for the Spirit. Then he says this, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." That's what I love about reading Scripture. That you can read Scripture and maybe read things a few different times and not notice something. That all of a sudden something pops out at you or somebody shares something with you. And you're like, "I never saw that before." So here's what I learned that I didn't know. And again, partly through the series of learning about the Holy Spirit, I'm ignorant too. I'm growing and I'm learning more about the Holy Spirit. Do you know that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so all four Gospels, and then here in the Acts of the Apostles, we are introduced to the person of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he is the forerunner of Jesus. He's like the warm-up act for Jesus. You know, there's a warm-up act for comedians, or the main comedian. There's a warm-up act before the big act of bands and music. Well, John the Baptist is the warm-up act for Jesus. And as he is kind of warming people up to Jesus and preparing people to receive Jesus and to welcome Jesus, he says this about Jesus. He says, John says about himself, "I'm coming, I'm baptizing with water, but one is coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." I mean, this was like a big deal about what Jesus was bringing. I never knew that. What does it mean to be baptized with the Spirit? Well, the word baptized means to plunge. So think of like plunging in water. To be baptized with the Spirit means that we are plunging into the Spirit, that we are soaking wet with the Spirit, the same way you're soaking wet after you jump into a pool. It means to be baptized in the Spirit. It means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the promise. So Jesus makes this, talks to the apostles. He's like, look, wait for the Spirit. Wait for the promise of the Father. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Makes this incredible promise. And then the apostles ask this question. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? So this was a question totally out of left field from what Jesus just said. They don't ask about the Spirit. They say, when are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? It's kind of a dumb question. It kind of reminds me, you know, that saying, there are no dumb questions, just dumb people who ask dumb questions, right? So, but here was the problem with the mindset of the apostles. And really, not just them, but all the Israelites at that time. This is the problem. They thought the Messiah was coming to restore the nation of Israel, which was right. But they thought the Messiah was coming to restore the nation of Israel to a place of military and political power and prestige and to lord over their enemies and defeat all their enemies. And they thought that was the way the Messiah wanted to restore them. But see, what God wanted to do, God wanted to bring about the restoration of Israel. But the way he was going to restore Israel was by using them as a conduit of his blessing to the nations. That through the nation of Israel, all the nations would come to know that God is a loving Father who sent his Son to die for them. And then send his Spirit into the world. And so Israel thought that the point, God was trying to like bring it back to a place of power to lord over their enemies, but God wanted to use Israel to be a blessing to the nations. And the same is true for us. You know, God certainly wants to bless us and will bless us with material things. But whatever we have received, again, whatever worldly things we receive, power, prestige, or possessions, whatever is given to us is not just given to us so that we can lord it over our friends and family or over other people, but so that we can be a blessing to others. We are blessed to be a blessing. And our restoration, our healing, our being restored to the glory that God had in mind for us from the moment he created us is that as we are a source of blessing to the people around us, that as we will choose to be a part, to be instruments of God's blessing, we are restored. We are healed. So Jesus says, it's not, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, of Israel. Jesus answered them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has established by his authority. In other words, dumb question. Here's what I want you to know. I'm not answering your question. Here's what you need to know. And this is in some ways the bottom line for this message today. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. I've called you together because I want you to know you're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness of my love, to be a witness of the love of the Father to the people you come in contact with. So I want you to see my friend Frank Kelly, who I think has owned this verse and can teach us a little bit about how we can be witnesses to the people we come in contact with on a regular basis.
Well, thanks, Tom. I think I most relate with the obstacle you reference of ignorance. I grew up right around the corner at a local parish, attended a local Catholic high school. We used to say Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right, all the time. And I knew a little bit about the Father, knew a little bit about Jesus, the Son, certainly kind of believed in Christmas and Easter, but knew absolutely nothing about the Holy Spirit. You know, who is this Holy Spirit? What does this Holy Spirit do? It wasn't until my junior year, I was at Cornell University playing football and lacrosse. I just saw a friend over there who was a great athlete, football lacrosse player. I won't shout his name out, embarrass him, but it was there, someone gave me a book called Holy Spirit, Key to Supernatural Living. And for the first time, it's crazy, I must have missed it. I think I'm a slow learner. I learned, you know, that the Holy Spirit is God. He's eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. But the Holy Spirit's also personal, not just some random cosmic force, but something to indwell us, that the Holy Spirit can be obeyed, lied to, resisted, grieved, quenched, even insulted. And then learn what the Holy Spirit does, that the Holy Spirit came to speak, to teach, to comfort, to help, to guide, as Tom said, to baptize us, to indwell us, even to fill us and empower us. There's a scripture in Ephesians the Apostle Paul wrote to challenge the Ephesians to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not be filled with these other things, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And today we look at this verse. I do love this verse. It had a huge influence on my life. Once I learned who the Holy Spirit was, what the Holy Spirit did, and how to be filled, all of a sudden I began to see some power. And, you know, I've learned the Holy Spirit does not come to make us perfect, but he comes to give us power. Power to change things that we can't change in our own power. Power to forgive. Power to heal. Power to restore relationships. Power to bear fruit that Tom referenced. And ultimately, power to be a witness to his glory, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. For us, that might mean locally, regionally, nationally, internationally. Or for some of us, it might just mean, you know, more in the aspect of relationships. It's all about relationships. You know, the word witness is one means one who can give a firsthand account of something seen or heard or experienced, to give a testimony to God's work in your own life or our life. And, you know, we're all called to be witnesses. And I know a couple areas God's called me to be a witness, my little world. One's actually was the lacrosse field, that God used that sport in a weird way to draw me to him into a more personal relationship. And I thought my lacrosse career was over many years ago, and ironically, I'm now involved in a ministry that's using lacrosse to help share the good news, this FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes Lacrosse, and not only locally, regionally, but I just got an email this morning from a friend in Uganda talking about an FCA lacrosse camp he wants to do over there to share the good news in a relevant way. Another area for me was in schools. I felt called to go back to my high school because I was there, and somehow I missed it, and I wanted to help other guys not miss it. And what started in one school, we're now in 300 schools with a faith-based, like Bible club, huddle, it's called. And then for me, I think of business. My parents started a small business over 40 years ago. I joined it with my brothers. And we're just trying to use our business in different ways to help others come to know and experience the love, the truth, and the power of Jesus, and the power of his word, and the power of the church. So, again, I just close with this thought. The Holy Spirit has not come to make us perfect, but to give us power. Power to change, to forgive, to heal, to restore, to bear fruit, so that we can be great witnesses for God and his glory if we're willing to believe and receive. That's all we need to do. We need to just believe and receive. We don't have to fix our life. He will do the changing, and he will give us the power to be a witness. So the question is, you know, who's God calling you to be a witness to? Who's he calling me to be a witness to in my family, in my circle of friends, in my business community, in my sports hobby community? God wants to use each one of us, not just the hired guns like Father Michael or even Tom, but thus regular people to be witnesses for his love and truth and honor and glory.
Thanks, Frank. What I love about Frank's story, again, is that God wanted him to be a witness, not, again, in some foreign land, which Frank thought at one point, but he said, I want you to be a witness right where you are. And that's the opportunity for every single one of us. Is that the Holy Spirit wants to give us the power to be a witness, not in things we aren't interested in or things that we have no interest in, but right where we are. So we're going to pray that God would fill us. That God would fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be have the power to be his witnesses. And so just a minute, just like last week, we're going to have our closing song. And it's called Here Is in Heaven. And it's much longer, but don't rush for the door. Wait. Wait around for the Spirit. So that you receive the power of the Spirit, that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, I want to encourage you to get a little bit outside your comfort zone. Maybe when we're going to sing these words, Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. And maybe at that point, you just open your hands a little bit, or even raise your hands to the sky. Also, as you can see, we have some people out here. If you want some personal prayer, if you want to come up and receive it personally, we will pray for you. And again, it can just be, hey, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It could maybe be, hey, I need some healing right now. I need the Spirit in a special way. Whatever you want to pray for, but we're just going to be praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, receive the promise of the Father. So I invite you to stand as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have sent your Son into the world and that you love us. We want to be filled with that love. We want to know that love more intimately. And God, we thank you that you send the Spirit to give us the power to be witnesses. To be witnesses of your love in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That God, you want to use us right where we are. So God, we pray that we would be filled with the Spirit. Like, I pray that everyone here, we'd be filled with your Spirit. That the Spirit drip upon us, fall upon us, stir up within us. That the Spirit would come upon us, we'd be baptized in your Spirit, filled with your Spirit, to be witnesses of your great love. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.
Atmosphere's changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere's changing. Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflowing this place, fill our hearts with your love. The Spirit of the Lord is for fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, for fresh on us.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.